First of all, I'd love to say that it's a real privilege for me to be here tonight. I don't ever remember being in this area other than I understand when I was a little bitty boy, somewhere up here near a springs, I guess they must have some springs up here, that I slipped as a little boy and hit my head, had a place up there where I used to have some hair. And it's the only thing I know about ever being in this area. But Brother Grady had asked us to come up and visit with the folks here and have a chance to meet them. First time we've ever met you folks, but it's a real privilege and a real pleasure to make your acquaintance and see some faces here we've never seen before. We're thankful for these and especially grateful for our people coming up and also Brother Hushtell and them coming over from Atlanta. Opportunity to be here is a real blessing to me. And even though they didn't get out any kind of advertisement on the meeting at all, it was kind of a quick thing, yet they will have out some brochures, I think, tomorrow. We may have some of them tonight. Atlee may be running late tonight to finish them up. We might have run into a problem. I think they're going to put out some tomorrow, and it may help with the meeting a little bit. But I'd like to talk with you just a few minutes from the Word of the Lord. Also, I'd like to say I appreciate Brother Johnny reserving us a place over here at the Red Carpet Inn. That's something that's really unusual, Johnny. I usually have to pay for the places I stay, and you brethren coming in getting me a place to stay is a very unusual thing. But I thank the Lord for it. I really appreciate it. I thought it was mighty thoughtful of you. And I know that God will bless you for it. See if I can get my ribbon loose right here. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Acts with us if you don't mind. Over in about the 22nd chapter. And let's read a little bit from the book of Acts in the 22nd chapter and see if we can, the Lord will give us a thought here. Second chapter, first verse. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, that was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh to Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias, the devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwell there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, while tarriest thou, rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephens was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was free born. Then straightway they departed from him which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. I'd love to back up just a little bit here to the 11th verse. And I'd like to dwell just a few minutes on the thought here. In the 11th verse, and when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. The thought here tonight that I'd like to dwell on for just a few minutes is the glory of that light. Now, tonight, first of all, I'd love to say that I am a happy Christian. I am a happy Christian. I've often said, I don't believe that anybody has any more problems than I have. It seems like there's a continuation of problems, and Paul said that in my heart there is continual sorrow. It seems that we have continual sorrow in that we have problems of all kinds with everybody, and it seems like it falls my lot that problems can start across the sea into the islands, and they wind up in my lap. I don't know how they do it, but they do. And I've had things to arise from way overseas in the islands, and I would get the repercussion from it, and eventually have to make amends or do whatever was to be made. But nevertheless, I thank God for His blessings, for His wonderful leadership, and because I am a happy Christian. Now, a man can be having a continual conflict in his outer man and still be full of joy on the inside. Paul said, though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And it is a true fact that though this outer man has conflict and problems, yet there is something that you can learn about or come in contact with in the inner man that can override every oppression and every trouble in the outer man. I was thinking about Brother Hushteller tonight. I know that his heart is heavy. I know that his wife's heart is heavy because he's been having some problems. And I know exactly how he feels because I've had the same problem. And it's a terrible feeling. But I noticed tonight as Brother Taylor was standing here praising God that Brother Hushteller also was praising God and enjoying the blessings of the Lord. The Bible tells us that in this world you'll have trouble, but in me you'll have peace. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. And that's true. If I don't have any hope beyond this life, that I could say that I'd be, of all men, the most miserable, in that I don't like the way that things goes on out in the world. I don't like the system. I don't like the way they do things. I don't like the way people act. I don't like the way they dress. I'm contrary to it in my spirit, because my spirit is in harmony with the Word of God. And so then I find that I'm contrary to those things out there. And the Bible said that we have a continual warfare between the inner and the outer man, or the body and the spirit. Paul said there's a continual warfare, because one of them is contrary to the other. So those that are out in the world, that's in the flesh, they are contrary to those that are in the kingdom of God, that's in the spirit. Is that right? And so then it makes a continual warfare, and we're constantly having to pray and ask God to give us strength to surmount our problems and be able to rise over it. But we can do it, and we do it by the grace of God. Now you say, how can you do that? By the glory of that line. That line has such great glory that we are able to do it. Paul on the way to Damascus was really having problems, being in the frame of mind that he was, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, as he used the terms. He was really having problems and was persecuting the Christians and on his way to destruction, because God would have destroyed him if he continued to do it. But according to the Bible, that as he journeyed on his way to Damascus, all of a sudden there shone round about him a great light from heaven, and he heard a voice from heaven, and that voice began to say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why persecutest thou me? The light that showed round about him brought out all of his faults, all of his wrongs, and began to make him see who he was and what he ought to be in God. Hallelujah. The light of that glory shining round about him began to make him know where he was standing, Bill. All of a sudden, that light shined down around him, and Paul began to recognize his identity in God. I'm glad to know that one day that the light of God's glory began to shine down around me. I began to feel the presence of that glory as it began to come down around me, and I began to find out my identity in God. We preached a message the other night, either the lost identity or the found identity. I don't know what Brother Taylor named it, but one way or another, we've lost our identity at one time through Adam, but we found the identity through Christ. And today, by the light of that glory, of the glory of that light, today we have found ourselves to be sons of God. That's why that I say that I'm a happy Christian. I'm happy tonight because I know the mystery of God. Many years I did not know the mystery of God. For many years I sought to know the mystery of God. Many long years I searched and I searched. And because I did not know the mystery of God, I couldn't be happy. And I couldn't be contented. I'd read in the Bible what the Bible said. I'd hear the minister preach. And I wanted to believe him, but I just couldn't understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. And because of that, I couldn't feel secure in the Lord. I couldn't feel that eternal security that God intended for me to have. And it always troubled me. It always bothered me. But one day I learned the mystery of God, and I found out just how secure a Christian really is since he's been bought with the blood of Jesus. And when I found out that I had such great security in God that not even the devil himself could dismantle me or overthrow me, I began to realize then that I could be a happy person. When you come to realize that even the devil doesn't have any power to overthrow you, then you become a happy person. But as long as you feel that everything can come against you and overthrow you, as long as you feel like you're just holding on by a shoestring, so to speak, you'll never have any happiness. There'll never be any happiness for you. That kind of faith will never get you into the kingdom of God. But I'll tell you what, when you come to understand the Word and understand the mysteries of God, and you come to the faith of Jesus Christ, then you'll be a happy person. It'll make you happy because there's something that's real about it. You know, speaking of these things, it makes me want to get into a message that I know that I couldn't preach tonight. I was thinking on some things today and studying some things today concerning the kingdom of God and the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And it thrilled my soul as I refreshed my memory and refreshed my mind in the things of God concerning the kingdom. You know, the Jews had a hard time because they never understood the righteousness of God. Though they tried hard, they fasted and they prayed. And they remind me of a lot of Pentecostal people. You know, I'm acquainted with Pentecostal people, and I see Pentecostal people, they pray and they fast and they search. And they try to convince themselves that everything's all right. And then they have a little running with the devil, and they're all cast down. They feel like they're backslid, and they feel like they're not going to make it in. And I think of the Jews a lot of times, and I think of those people, because they're basing their experience on what they've tried to do through life and holding what they believe to be a standard of righteousness. When according to the Scripture, everything that they could have done in the flesh, as far as fasting, as far as praying, or anything that they could have done, would have been as filthy rags in the sight of God. There's nothing that they could have done in their own weak, feeble, contemptible way that would have ever even faced God. And yet they've let their faith rest in the works that they've tried to do. I see people that are miserable because they let their faith rest in having dreams or prophecies or what somebody's told them, or what they've come to believe about a matter. And as a consequence of this, wherever I find those people, I find miserable people, because they don't have an experience with God like they need. But I've never seen one miserable person that ever put their faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, really put their faith in the Lord. And I'm reminded of what Paul said when he told the Jews. He said, though you trust in the righteousness of the law, yet, he said, you stumble at the faith of Jesus Christ. You stumble at the faith which is by Jesus. A lot of people let their experience rest in the fact that they believe in Jesus. They base their salvation on the fact that they believe in Jesus. And still wind up in misery. But when we come to understand that God is not wanting us to found our faith on our believing in Jesus, nor on our experiences, nor works of law, nor on dreams, but to base our experiences on the faith of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, the faith by which we are sanctified. And there is a righteousness that's by the law that we could not keep. But there is a righteousness that was wrought by God in Jesus, that was by the faith of Jesus Christ Himself. Not by our believing in Him, but by His believing in God. It's not by believing in Him, but it's by the faith that he had in his heart toward God, the unwavering, faith that he had in God when he wrought my salvation. When a man comes to understand the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ, or the righteousness which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, wherein we being fallen from the grace of God through the fall of Adam, that we have been re-established, and God has given us a great plan of rehabilitation and brought us back into His presence through the finished works of Calvary and what His Son did for us. To know that Jesus lived the life, and through the life that He lived, I've overcome. To know that Jesus kept every jot and every tittle of the law. And today I'm partakers of the benefit of God because of what He did. Today I'm a victorian in Christ, Brother Zale, because He overcome. Today I'm a Christian because He lived right. Today I'm in the kingdom of God because He spilt His blood. And today I have eternal security, to where there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ. It doesn't matter if it's powers of evil. It doesn't matter if it's depressions, if it's circumstances through life, if it's sicknesses, if it's afflictions, or whatever it might be, there is nothing that can take me away from the love of God. I am secure in the love of God. The Bible tells us that God has predestinated us unto sonship. Through His foreknowledge, He has given us a great predestination unto sonship. And the Bible said that them that God predestinated, them that He foreknew before the world ever was, that at the time when everything was ready, He sent out a minister and He called them. He called them. At the time that He sent out for Paul when he was on the way to Damascus, the same Paul on the way to Damascus, I'm sure that Paul never realized, spiritually speaking, that he was one of the elect of God. Though he'd sat at the feet of Gamaliel, though he had been of the strictest of the Pharisees and believed in the resurrection,
though he was of the tribe of Benjamin, yet it is a true fact that he never really came to understand that he had eternal security in God until he saw the light or the glory of that light. He never came to understand his benefits in God until one day he came in contact with God, and the radiant glory of that light, the excellency of that light, the great excellency of God shined round about him, and he began to realize how great he was in God. Believing in the securities of God. What a thought for little Christians that's coming up. What a thought for them that are struggling. Paul explaining that if God so loved us, while we were yet weak and without strength, while we were yet sinners when nobody could help us, if God so loved us that he reconciled us to himself through the death of his own son, if he so loved us so much when we didn't even say, Lord, Lord, when we knew nothing of him, that he was willing to take Jesus and smite Jesus and hang him upon Calvary. As the Bible said, we esteem him smitten of God. Hang him there on Calvary and bruise him for our transgressions. If God, being so willing before we were ever Christians, before we ever knew God, that he would take his own son and let him die to reconcile us unto God, Paul said, how much more are we to believe in the salvation and strength of God's love, in that we are now calling upon the name of the Lord, and in that we are now considered to be his children? How much more does God love us, in that the atonement of the blood's already made, in that he loved us so much before we ever turned to him? If he loved us so much before we ever turned to him, so much that he would even let Jesus die, that we might be reconciled unto him to give us opportunity. If he loved us so much that he would sacrifice the most beloved thing that heaven could afford just to give us an opportunity to be saved, how much more does he love us now that we've accepted the opportunity that he's given us? What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful security that we have in God, an eternal security. And so then Paul, in upbraiding the Jews, he told them, he said, you trust in the righteousness of the law, that which could never save you. Even though he said the promises, the covenant, the glory, all of this belongs unto the fathers or to the prophets. He said, but that's not God's way. He said, I want to show you the way of God without the law. I want to show you God's salvation without the law. And he said, I want to show you what faith can do without the law. He said, this being God's plan without the law, and without that which pertains to the law, he said, I want to show you something that can save you by simply having confidence in what God did. I want to show you a simple plan of salvation, to where all you've got to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him up from the dead, and you can have salvation. Not the law, but he said the law and the prophets witness to the faith of Jesus Christ, or the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. All the law witnessed to it. It was a testimony to it. Because it said someday there shall come a son. Someday there shall come someone that can save you from your sins. And the law pointed to it. The law witnessed of it. The law testified of it. All the promises of the Old Testament witnessed of the coming of Jesus and the salvation of God. The prophets witnessed to it. All of the promises of God witnessed to it. The law witnessed to it. And then one day it came. And today we are the fortunate ones that are privileged to live in the age of the salvation and the redemption of God's finished work by faith in Jesus Christ. The faith by which we are sanctified. It is no wonder the Bible tells us that we should contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. We should contend for the faith of Jesus Christ that was once delivered unto God. And then Paul tells us that the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that if we can understand, if we can see that the Spirit of the living God bears witness within us that we are sons of God, that his Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I'm a son of God, that I pass from death unto life, and that I'll never have to die again. Never again. I pass from death unto life, and I've come into the great understanding of God, and I've come into the mysteries of God. And even though we're not speaking of the mysteries tonight in any depth, whereas it might stir some of you, but this is the great mystery that we're speaking of right here, that even the world doesn't understand yet. That we have salvation by the faith of Jesus Christ. We have a salvation not by our faith. A lot of people teach that all you've got to do is just get salvation by believing. But I want you to know that if I had done all the believing I could have ever done, I'd never got salvation. I could have believed from now until the Lord returned, but I'd never got salvation. But I want you to know that the faith of Christ was sufficient to bring salvation. A lot of people say, well, I believe, Brother Pike, that when the end of the world comes, that the Lord will return and we'll have this great thing that you're speaking of. But I want you to know that Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come way back in. Way back in. Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Even in the days of Jesus, the Bible said that was the end of the world. That was the end of the world. Back there when Peter looked and saw the things happen, he said the scriptures are fulfilled. Jesus stood up and said, this day the scriptures fulfilled in your hearing, in your ears. And Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. For the Bible said that in the evening time of life, God would offer up his son Jesus. According to the old sacrificial laws, when they take the lamb out in the evening time and offer him up, here was the evening time of life. And Peter recognized the big brazen altar, Calvary, and he saw the lamb going to the sacrifice. There upon the great altars, the blazing fire of the wrath of God's consummation coming down upon the great brazen altar, picking up the lamb and taking the sacrifice into the presence of God that he could atone for our sins. What a great and a beautiful picture. What a great thought to know that the end of the world was there. And whereas the Bible said that in the fullness of time God sent forth his son, the son that was born of a woman, and the son that was made under the law, that in the end of the world, the fullness of time, that was it, that was the finishing of it. And from that time on, we've had the great opportunity not to live in the earth, but to be those that dwell in heaven and in the very presence of God. Tonight, I'm not dwelling in the earth. The Bible said, you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. And tonight, I'm hid with Christ and God, whom the heavens have received. The Bible said that God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And tonight, I'm in the kingdom of God. Tonight, I'm here with Christ and God. Tonight, I'm in the heavenly places tonight, beholding the glory of God. Why? All because of the eternal security and the benefits of the power of the faith of the mystery that Paul spoke of that has translated me into the marvelous kingdom of my God. I believed. I believed his salvation. The Bible said, who hath believed our report? The words have gone into all the ends of the earth. But who hath believed the report? I believe the report. I believed, and because I believe, tonight I'm in the presence of God. I believe, and tonight because I believe, I'm in heavenly places tonight. I believed, and because I believe, God chose me out of this world, took me up into another world, and tonight I'm there with God, and even the devil don't know where I'm at. He can't find me. As I said the other night, people looking for my faults, trying to find fault with me, saying, Brother Pike this, and Brother Pike that, or Brother Zell this, or Brother Grady that, or Brother Frank, or Brother Bill, or whatnot. Why, they couldn't blame me with nothing because they don't know where I'm at. They couldn't see my faults because they can't see me. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I think you're eccentric. I'm looking at you, I can see you, but you can't. The Bible said I'm hid with God in Christ. And if I'm hid with God in Christ, you don't know where I'm at and you can't see me. You can't find me. The devil can't get to me because he can't pass over the bloodline. Amen. You say, but Brother Pike, I see you as a human being standing there. I see you as a fleshly body. But Paul said, according to the scriptures, that I was crucified with Jesus. I was buried in a watery grave, and it's not I that live, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Not to know any man after the flesh, but to know him as a spirit. And tonight, to know him after the spirit is to know him as the Son of God, if he's been born again. One of the things that I was thinking of just a few days ago as I was ministering, you know, the Jews trusted in Father Abraham. And they were so sure that circumcision had to do with their salvation. And they felt because God had given Abraham the sign of circumcision that if you was not circumcised according to the law, then you couldn't be in the plan of God. But when Paul received the revelation, when Paul received the mystery, and then he went to confront the Jews, he asked him a simple question. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, as he would say to the Jews. Did God appear to Abraham and give Abraham the plan of God, the plan of faith, and justify Abraham by faith before the circumcision or after the circumcision? In other words, Paul said to the Jews as he confounded them, if what you're preaching is right, then tell me this. Did God save Abraham because of the sign of circumcision, or did God give Abraham the sign of circumcision because he saved him? Hallelujah. The question is a man saved because he's been baptized, and that baptism is the circumcision, the putting away of the old man? Is the man saved because he is put in the water? Is that what saves him? Or is he put in the water because God saved him? By the foreknowledge of Christ. The Bible said you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That means tonight that my salvation was wrought in Christ before the world ever was. I'm God's elect tonight. Not because I've done something good, but I'm God's elect tonight because God, before the foundation of the world, saw me in his foreknowledge and wrote my name down according to the book of Revelation in the book of life. And tonight I've got salvation. Hallelujah. Because God made me his elect by foreknowledge. And the Bible said them that he foreknew, he predestinated. Them that he predestinated, Paul said he also called. Them that he called, he said he also justified. Them that he justified, Paul said that he also glorified. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm just waiting for the day that God glorifies me. I'm waiting for the day God glorifies you too, because the glory of that light is great. I receive my glorification, and I hope you can receive yours. Them that God looked down and saw. The Bible said he heard the groaning of the prisoners. Them that was appointed unto death. Them that had to die. Them that had to go by the way of the grave because of the sins of Adam. But one day God looked down from heaven, and God heard the groaning of the prisoners. And God loosed them that was appointed unto death. And God came to them and said, I am the resurrection and life. My words are spirit and life. If you can believe on these words, you'll never die. But you pass from death to life. In a day, he secured the Calvary. In a time appointed. At the right time, he heard the crying. And God loosed the prisoners and turned them loose. When Jesus went down the heart of the earth to preach to those souls that had been crying, the Bible said that the graves broke open and they come up and they got out of the ground and they walked around. Loosed those that was in prison, heard the groaning of the prisoners, came down from heaven and took away death and let them come up out of the grave to show that we were free. Paul said, in the mystery of being delivered as Jesus for our offenses and all that Adam had brought upon us, but being raised up as Christ for our justification, that we'd have eternal life and security from now on. And said, because we are now divorced from him that was nailed to Calvary as a type of the law, we could be married to him that rose up from the dead from here on out. Said, if the husband that was sinful, in that he was made sin, is now put away, which was the old body that caused the trouble in the fall, Paul said, now as a spiritual man, I'm alive unto God forevermore. It's obvious tonight that when we failed by the fall of Adam, that we died in the spirit and came alive in the flesh. And that there has been a parasite ever since that's been living our life for us. That we've had a parasite life in the body ever since the fall of Adam. But today that parasite life is gone. It was killed at Calvary. And that true life that came from the overshadowing of the Shekinah glory of God in the garden is back on the inside. And today the body of that death that Paul spoke of is taken away at Calvary. And the circumcision of the heart has come. And the old man is put away. And the new man is living today. And the inner man today is in contact with heaven. And the inner man today is alive. And Paul said, because of that, the old outer man's dead and he can't sin no more. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death, oh wretched man that I am? I thank God, he said, what the law couldn't do, Jesus did it. God sending his own son, the likeness of sin in the flesh, nailed it to the cross, condemned sin in the flesh, done away with sin in the flesh. And he that is born of God can never sin anymore. Because he isn't alive anymore to sin. There is no transgression of the law when a man's dead. And since we're dead and buried, real gone, buried, done away with us, the old man. There will never be another sin in a Christian's life. Never again. He's without spot. He's without blemish. He is perfected forever. The Bible said God is perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Therefore, we contend for the faith. The faith by which we are sanctified. Hallelujah. That is the faith that went to Calvary, sanctified me once and for all. And that sanctification perfected me forever, that never again would sin be brought into the remembrance of God. In the Old Testament, the Bible said that the law continually brought back a remembrance of sin every year with the offering of the atonement. But it said once and for all, God's put it away from him. I'll never come up in his sight again as sin. Never again will sin come up in the sight of God. Never again. It's all gone. We are free. That's why I'm a happy Christian tonight, is because of the glory of that light. That light. The Bible said the glory of that light, which would be the last or the latter house, which would be the light of the world, the Christian. Said it would be far greater than that of the Jew, which would be the former light, a lesser light that was through a veil called a law or an intellectual ritualistics. Today we're the light of the world, and the glory of that light is exceedingly great, and it's reaching throughout all the world. All the world. Tonight, I'm thankful because I'm acquainted with the glory of that light. And Paul become acquainted with it. From that time on, Paul found his place in God, and he never worried again. He said, I am persuaded that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ. If some of you have been through the things that I've been through with, maybe you have, maybe more. But if some of you have been through the things that I've been through with, the tortures and the torments and the conflicts of mine, the tortures and the torments and the conflicts of false brethren, and the perils and everything that we've been through out yonder, around, across the nation, and out in the different parts of the world, you'd understand tonight that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. It is so great and so strong, there is nothing can take you away. Tonight, if you are trusting in the faith that was in him, not your faith, but his faith, if you're trusting tonight and believing in his faith, that his faith was sufficient to please God, that his life was sufficient to please God, that what he did was sufficient to please God, and that God accepted you because of what he did. And tonight all you've got to do is accept the righteousness of God by the atonement of Jesus Christ. If you can believe that in your heart, confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. What a wonderful thought. I'd like for you to stand with me. I just felt like exhorting you a little bit tonight. By almost 25 minutes after 9, and I've been preaching almost an hour. I thank the Lord tonight for the opportunity to come here, fellowship our brother and sister in the Lord, expound the gospel, and try to say a little something that might encourage you. If you don't have a real confidence in your salvation tonight, I'll tell you what, you can be a happy Christian. If you understand what I understand and believe what I believe, there's something that'll bubble up on the inside of you. And like I said the other day, the deep calling to the deep at the water spout of God. How many believe that you're the water spout of God? Out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. At the water spout of God, the deep calls into the deep, and it answers back. Answers back, and my cup runs over. Out of the wells of salvation comes waters of life through abundance of joy. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus together. If the sister doesn't mind coming back to the piano, Brother Ron on the guitar here, we just sing a little chorus and we turn the service right back to the brother. A lot of times we sing the song Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I want us to try to sing that tonight. We've got our cameraman back yonder tonight. He'll get that picture of the brother and sister that we couldn't get just a little bit ago. Praise God. Let's everybody together. Let's just sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's see if I can use this mic here. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, But now I can see. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour I first believed. I wonder if you believe tonight. Do you really believe tonight? You know, a lot of people say, Brother Pike, I want to believe, but I'm just weak in faith. But why are you weak in faith? If you know tonight that you're only believing in His believing, and it's not your believing that saves you, but His believing, and all you're doing is believing in His believing, then why be weak tonight? You're not trusting in your believing tonight to bring you salvation. You're trusting in His believing tonight. So why not believe? Hallelujah. That's easy to believe in that, isn't it? Hallelujah. That makes you a happy Christian. Because it's true. It's absolutely God's word tonight. The Bible said Abraham, strong in faith, he did not stagger at God's promise. Never considered the deadness of Sarah's womb, though she was about 100 years old. Staggered not at the promises of God. Can you see that tonight? Might have an affliction, might have a problem, might have a sickness tonight, might have a financial difficulty tonight, might have a need, might be bound with evil spirits tonight, might have a conflict in your mind tonight. But my brother, Abraham, never considered the deadness, never considered the deadness. He never considered the opposition. He never looked at it like that. You know the way he looked at it? He never thought about the deadness of the wound, but he thought about what God said about it. If you're sick tonight, don't think about the sickness. Don't think about the opposition, but calling those things that are not as though they are, because God said they are. Tonight, according to all human reason, you're dying and on your way to hell. But according to what God said about it, we're on the way to heaven. I believe what he said about it, don't you? Somebody said, according to the doctor's report, you're dying with cancer. You're dying with TB. You're dying with heart condition. Perishing. But according to what God said about it, by stripes you're healed. The Bible said Abraham never considered the other. He just said, that's what God said. That's good enough for me. Not to lean to your own understanding, but to trust in God with all your heart. Hallelujah. All of his promises are yea and amen. Abraham considered not the opposition, considered not the problems. He knew, as well as you know, that there was natural opposition, that according to natural life, they could never have any children. But he never considered that. He just said, God, you promised. You promised. They tell me there's 32,000 promises in here. God, you promised. And because you promised, I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe it ought to be that way. I believe, Brother Zales, there's a blind eye that it ought to be looked at in the deadness now, or not to be considered. It's what God promised. If there's a withered arm, it ought not be considered. We ought to consider God's promise. If a person is dead in the coffin, we ought not consider the deadness of that person, but what God promised. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. That's the way it ought to be. We ought to train ourselves to believe. We ought to never have the negative side of life. Never think anything but the positive word of God. Accept the positive mind of Christ. And never consider any elements of defeat. But there is no defeat in Him. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even your faith. Let's sing it again. When we've been there 10,000 bright shining as the sun, we've no less I'm going to say this to you before I turn this service over to our brother. When you think of what you have to do to make it in, it is a wearisome, long, hard, tiring journey. But when you consider the fact that because he died, you made it in, it is joy unspeakable and it is full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why Brother Taylor hollered hallelujah like he does. He found out the truth. And today he's rejoicing because of that. Hallelujah. Praise God.